Our reading this morning is Isaiah 55, verse 10 to 13. And then followed by that, it'll be Isaiah 46, 9 to 11. So from Isaiah 55, 10 to 13. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it, without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. And then turning to Isaiah 46, 9 to 11. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I will make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east I summon a bird of prey, from a far-off land a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said that I will bring about, what I have planned, that will I do.
Thank you so much, William, for reading those verses. Good morning, everybody. How are we today? I'm feeling inadequate from the beginning because I'm not going to do a cartwheel for you. You'll be glad to know. But wasn't that awesome? She is super skilled. Good morning. Listening to those song words, I don't know about you, but listening to the song that just said, what did they say? God is so, so good. Great is his faithfulness. Can't remember exact words, but I just stood there thinking, isn't it amazing that we have the privilege and the opportunity actually to come into church, to have a moment to just pause, to reflect, and to just remember? It wasn't something I was going to share with you at the beginning, but it just made me think, actually, to have a moment where we don't have to rush away from the presence of God. But it's important, isn't it, to just remember God's faithfulness. And that's what we have the privilege of doing in this moment. Today we are continuing the series looking at the book of Isaiah, as Douglas said, and you've just heard verses from Isaiah 55, but also from Isaiah 46. And as you may know from other people speaking, from Sat and Lizzie and others, over the course of the last few weeks, we've been looking at this book of Isaiah, written about 740 years before Jesus walked on the earth. And yet this amazing prophetic word that pointed to the person of Jesus and our restoration, reconciliation, redemption, and promise. Isn't that amazing? That God breathed and spoke truth and life and hope through a person who would never even see Jesus walk on earth 700 years before. And yet how amazing that it was also captured for us to read even today, all these many years on. Well, in thinking about this topic of his word endures, God's faithfulness, just as I was praying and thinking about what to come and share with you today, the first verses that came to mind, which are not from Isaiah, but I'd love to start us with, just as we take a moment to just pray together, are some of my favourite verses from Lamentations 3. And you might know them. What a good way to kickstart any day. Lamentations 3, 22, 23 says this: because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, because his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Isn't that a good way to start any day? Why don't we just pray together before we move on? Father God, we thank you for this new day. As Douglas reminded us, every day is a gift. And however we're feeling this morning, Lord, whether we feel that today is a gift or whether it feels hard work, whether we feel overwhelmed with joy or shattered at the week that's gone by, Lord, I thank you that we can come to you this morning acknowledging that great is your faithfulness. So, Lord, speak to us as we hear from the truth of your word today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 When I was about 9 years old, I nearly drowned. I'm not particularly happy to say it's given me quite a fear of being underwater for all of these years. Did anyone remember school or swimming lessons where you had to wear your pyjamas and pick up a brick? Do you remember that? How random that was. That was something that I never enjoyed doing. Or having to do, again, similar, where you had to learn to dive and so on. And I trace that back to the fact that when I was nine, I nearly drowned. And the way that that came about was I was having swimming lessons at the time. I struggled to learn how to swim, but by the age of about nine, was just about getting some rhythm of it. Whereas my brother, 2 years younger, was like a fish. Uncle Matt to Jacob, at about age two or three, he basically leapt into the pool and pretty much took off. Very annoying, because for me, it was a real struggle and a strain to learn how to swim. And on this one particular occasion, it was a Christmas party of our swim school. And the swimming pool that I learnt to swim in was one where it was shallow. It was a training pool, so it was shallow at both ends and deep in the middle. You might know the type. And it was a swim party at the end of term, just before Christmas. And so our swim teacher had thrown all the inflatables possible into the pool for us to enjoy. There were those woggles, there were lilos, there were balls. And the teacher was right at the far end. I can recall it now. There was the viewing platform where the parents were, and our teacher was there having a merry old chat to the teachers whilst we swam and bobbed about. And what happened for me in that moment of the teacher being at the end and my brother and other friends from our swim school being just left to our own devices was I saw that my brother was in the middle, which was the deep end. And I grabbed hold, not being a strong swimmer at this point, grabbed hold of two balls and put one under one arm and one under the other and went swimming into the middle to go and catch up with my brother. And as I got closer and kicking my feet and bobbing along with a ball under each arm, he would look like he was swimming off. And so I went, "Matt." Well, you can imagine what happened in that moment. One ball went one way, one ball went the other way. And I just went, started going down. Now, thankfully, my brother had actually heard me say, "Matt." And he turned around from following off with his friends. And he came back. And my only memory is being, like I said, eight or nine, was that my brother got me round the neck and managed somehow to get me to the side. I'm very grateful to him that I lived to tell the tale. Slightly negligent swim teacher, dare I say, who was nowhere to be seen. But as I reflect back on that, not only did it have repercussions of not particularly loving being underwater in many moons gone by, but it reminds me of just the fact that actually, praise God, that in that moment, certainly for me anyway, my brother heard me. And he actually turned around and he came back to, in effect, rescue me, didn't he? He came back and grabbed me by the neck and got me to the side. And it reminds me that actually my brother was there to lean in and help me in a moment where I just simply couldn't help myself. And I wonder whether, as we look at some of these verses today, as we think about God's faithfulness, for me, these verses paint a picture of almost that, this sense of actually sometimes we just struggle, don't we, in ways that we sometimes feel we just can't help ourselves, like I couldn't in that moment. I needed my brother to spot me, to see me, to abort what he was doing, to actually come and to rescue me in that effect. And God's word, as we know, many of us have known it for years, some of us maybe only for a few months, but God's word from Genesis to Revelation is filled with story after story of God's rescue, of God's intervention, of God's faithfulness at any point of people's lives. And we know, many of us, don't we, the stories of people who were in prison and doors were open, God was faithful. We know about the prisoner on the cross who looked to Jesus in that moment of desperation and God was faithful. We read through the Gospels story after story of God's faithfulness. The Bible is littered, whether it's in narrative or poetry or prophecy. We only need to go to the Word of God to see and speak of his faithfulness. And these verses, as we look at how we can trust in God's faithfulness, remind us of exactly this. In Isaiah 46, it says, "I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. I don't know about you, but sometimes we don't almost want to know a God of our lives, do we? We'd rather do it our way. We'd rather be able to rescue ourselves, thanks very much. Don't actually need help or don't need to call out or lean on God. Maybe he just won't do things quite in my timing because I need something to change now or a shift to happen now. And yet these verses remind us that God is and always has been and always will be, won't he? I am God, there is no other. And in a world, I don't know how you reflect, but as you look at the missional landscape around us, there is great opportunity. And yet as we look at the world and our culture, how much grey there is, how much struggle and strife, how much difficulty, how much fraction and friction there is between people, whether we look at the political sphere, whether we look at our own neighbourhoods, whether we look at neighbours who are falling out. Somebody was telling me just the other day that on their cul-de-sac, their neighbours have all fallen out over parking. We let things get in the way, don't we, sometimes? We only have to look at the bigger picture. And again, maybe we feel that angst and worry and concern, what we are living in and the times to come. And yet these verses maybe remind us this morning that of God's existence, we know there is no doubt. Of his clear purposes for my life and for yours, there is no doubt. Of his love for us, there is no doubt. Isn't that a helpful reminder that there is none like him? Let's just let that sink in a moment. There is none like him. Is there nowhere else can we go to have that drilled down, utter faithfulness, knowing that God is with us and he is for us? We can totally trust in his faithfulness. Maybe it was thinking about the story of drowning, maybe, but I remembered this picture, which I've seen many times, and you'll see on the screen now, but I love this picture. Maybe you've seen it before, a few of you, and it's by, it's called The Hand of God, and it's by an artist called Yeon-sung Kim. And some of you may have seen it before. It actually comes from the story of Peter walking on the water. And if you read that in the Gospels, you'll know what happens when Peter steps out of the boat. Good on him. He was the only one who stood out of the boat and went to walk towards Jesus, didn't he? And yet, at a moment where he took his eyes off Jesus, as we know, what happened to him? A bit like me. He went down, didn't he? And as I was praying and reflecting, even this morning and earlier this week, this picture came to mind. Because I don't know about you, to me, this is a powerful picture, taken, as you'll see, not from what we might often see of somebody being rescued from Jesus' perspective, but it's taken from Peter's, isn't it? Him under the water and Jesus reaching in. This next picture, too, reminds us of actually all we need to do sometimes is to reach up. Just as that previous picture, the hand of God shows us that when we're in places of pain, of trauma, of unrest, of not knowing, of seeking God, of being downright angry with God sometimes, and I believe it's all right to be angry with God, he can cope. But actually in those places of pain, how do we, when do we, can we challenge ourselves to actually sometimes just reach up our hand, to put our hand in his and say, Lord, just help me. Rescue me. I can't do it on my own. I've felt that many times during the course of my life, and even more recently, but at many times in the past, and I'm sure you have too. Don't we all need a saviour? We all need somebody, don't we, at times where we get to the end of our resources and just say, I just can't do it all. And so my encouragement to myself and to you today is, what does it look like to trust in God's faithfulness? He is always there, ready and waiting, just as he was for Peter. But actually, even more than that, he's not just there in emergency situations, is he? For Peter, that was a critical moment. For me in the swimming pool, it was a critical moment. My brother was needed. Jesus was needed to lift Peter up, to rescue him. But the good thing is we have the solid assurance, don't we, that Jesus is always there. And my experience is whether you've got 2 minutes to pause and speak to the Lord, whether you've got 20 minutes, 20 days, or even longer, Jesus is always there, ready and waiting to meet us, to pull us up, to encounter us, and to lead us deeper into the knowledge of love of him. What an amazing gift we have. So we trust in God's faithfulness, don't we, that he is always there. He rescues us. He is with us. On the next slide, Jacob, we're reminded that as we look at the picture of Isaiah, that we can also rely on God's promises. Again, the Bible is littered. If you went to ChatGPT or Google and say, tell me about the promises of God in the Bible, I haven't done it, but you'd find out that there were plenty. I would guess there are over 50 or 100. The Bible is littered not only of stories of God's faithfulness, but also of his promises. And what we see in this reading from Isaiah 55 and also 46 is that Isaiah was living through tumultuous times. It was chaos. There was unrest. There was reconciliation that was needed, restoration that was needed, and yet a whole lot of judgment too in those times. They were fearing the Assyrian captivity, and he was a person who ministered through great instability and times when actually he would say that it was just looked like crisis. Sounds familiar, doesn't it, sometimes? You only have to look at our world and think, well, God, there's nothing new under the sun, is there? We still look at our times, sometimes thinking they're worse than they've ever been. And yet, actually, many of our people who have preceded us will have also lived through difficult times, needing to lean into God. Just over the last couple of weeks, some of you will have been aware of watching the news as well. There was quite a devastating week a couple of weeks ago, maybe for some people more than others, wasn't there, with the passing of the assisted suicide bill and the changes to the abortion laws and many other things like that. And sometimes it's okay for us to feel that pain, that lament on behalf of what's going on in our nation. And yet at the same time, and for me, having conversations in my work at the Evangelical Alliance, we were really lamenting some of these things that were happening. I have colleagues who were right around those tables with Keir Starmer, with other people in Westminster, in the Senedd, in Wales, in Stormont, and speaking on behalf of the Christian Voice over these last number of weeks and having incredible conversations with people and rallying the church to pray. You can imagine how my team felt, our advocacy team, when some of those laws were passed. It was a really tough time. I felt it on that Friday afternoon when I messaged our director of advocacy and others saying, we're standing with you, we're praying, this is really tough. Because they'd been pummeling away, speaking in the right way, you know, with great respect, with bravery, with kindness that we seek to do as the EA, but speaking on behalf of the church into some of these spheres of influence. And so we had a period. The following week, we always meet on a Wednesday morning as an EA staff team, and we just lamented. We prayed, and that's all we did for half an hour. We just prayed because it's okay to feel pain, isn't it? And to seek out to God and go, what is going on here? This is difficult times. It's challenging times. And yet I found myself in a conversation with somebody almost saying, but why are we surprised? When, as you know, and I may have shared with some of you, in a time when we look across the UK church and we see so much life and new life, we see so many people, the 2 million more people in the church since 2018 that we heard about from the Quiet Revival research. Young adults coming to know the Lord, young people again feeling more stirred than they have done for decades. Even, I can't quite believe I'm saying this, but even the national press since February have started printing good news about the church. Have you seen that? They talked about Bible sales being up by 87%. It kind of wasn't doing too badly anyway, was it? It's always been a bestseller. But The Guardian said the statistics of the sales are up by 87%. Christian music downloads has gone up by 47% in the last year. What is going on? God is stirring something, isn't it? That we are hearing, and I hear, the privilege of engaging with church leaders week after week, and they're saying, yeah, we're seeing people come into our church. They're coming through our doors. They've become Christians really quite quickly. Actually, their lives are quite messy, but they've had deep encounters with Jesus and they just want to know more. And they're coming into churches like ours to say, I kind of feel like I've got to know Jesus, but I just want to know the rest. So why are we surprised in some ways that when we're seeing new life come about, that actually there's always kickback, isn't there? The enemy doesn't like it. And some of these issues are really hard for us to grapple with. And yet still in the midst of it, don't we believe in God's faithfulness? He has not let us down. He never has, and he never will. As we look at this, it reminded me when I was thinking about relying on God's promise. For me, one of the most difficult times in my life was when my mum, Jacob's granny, was diagnosed with cancer. I remember exactly where I was. I remember the phone call, and I remember just it being like the most difficult thing that rocked my world. Praise God, 18 years on, she's still with us. But we had a journey, horrendous as many of you will have been through, and some with good endings, some with not so good endings. But in the middle of that, it was probably the most prevalent time in my life to date, where I found myself having to decide, did I believe that God is faithful? It took me to a T-junction. I remember physically, virtually feeling it, that I either in that moment of angst, of grief, of anxiety, of upset, of disbelief, why is this happening to her? You know, she was a church leader at the time. Nobody's exempt, are they? Why was it happening to her? And I just remember thinking, I've got a choice here. I either get really angry with God and push him away, or I turn towards God and throw myself on him and just say, you've got to help me here because I don't really know what to do. In that situation, thankfully, I went that way and rallied a whole load of people to pray. I found in that moment, and don't know if any of you can empathise with this, but in that moment of pain, of worry, and all the rest of those emotions, I found it really hard to pray myself. I just couldn't get the words. And yet I remember to this day, and some of you will know this, somebody spoke a word to me saying that the Bible talks about in those places of pain, even the groan of our heart or the groan of our inner core in that place of pain, that is enough because God is faithful. He hears us, he feels it. And for a period of about 2 years, couldn't pray. But that groan of my heart was enough. And I knew that that was my communication with God. And yet hundreds of others prayed, and praise God, my mum came through. These verses in Isaiah 55 talk about, again, all the seasons of life, don't they? They talk about, as we can see here, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it, without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose which I sent it. That speaks to us again about creation, doesn't it? As Douglas was speaking about, it tells us that all that God's given us is there, whether it's from creation, whether it's today in 2025, it's there to nourish us, the earth and everything in it. God's word to us is also powerful, it's effective, it's purposeful. And my encouragement definitely to myself, but also to us, is how much do we read it? I remember probably about 8 months ago, I think I put up a brilliant slide I say brilliant because it really impacted me. Somebody gave it to me that showed the breakdown of every book in the Bible. Do you remember? And it showed us that on average, at average reading speed, for example, I remember the book of Jonah, all four chapters, took the average person 6 minutes to read it. That's nothing, is it? You can't even boil a kettle pretty much in that time, can you? But how much do we read it? Some of the Gospels, each one took an average person about 33 minutes to read it. That's nothing, is it? We need to go back to the Word of God. It is powerful and effective in our lives. And these verses remind us too, don't they, that God's Word, God's truth, God's faithfulness never fails, even if sometimes we feel we can't see it. Some of you might have heard me mention that in my work, we've just launched a new piece of research, which is called Finding Jesus Research. We wanted to know, how is it that people are coming to faith today? And we interviewed just under 300 people who've come to faith in the last 5 years and asked them, but why? What started the journey? Who was alongside? What kick-started it? What helped along the way? How long did it take you? What were some of the biggest challenges? How would you describe your journey? It's fascinating. Findingjesus.co.uk if you wanted to have a look. I'm sure you'll hear more from me at some point. But what really struck me is that, again, when we look at some of these questions of life, the leaning in, the challenge that so many of us go through, what this research told us, when we asked what started the journey for you, we found that the top answer, 37% of people said it was because they just needed help with life. 34% of people said it was because they needed their life to have a deeper meaning. That actually many people in our deeper dive dialogues with them told us, do you know what, it kind of looked on the surface like I had it all. I had the job, had the partner, I was, you know, working or at uni or whatever it was. Kind of looked like I had it all, and yet I just was a bit miserable, or I wasn't happy, or there was something that was missing. People also went on to talk about the fact that they watched other Christians to see the impact that their faith had on their life. As we look at these verses and think about how we're encouraged to rely on God, I wonder what that looks like for you. Do we need help with life? Always, if you're anything like me. Do we look for deeper meaning? Always. We always want to know more about God, don't we, as Christians? That's the call on us to go deeper. But we're reminded too, aren't we, that God is in control. These verses remind us that even when we can't see it, he uses everything for good. Because he loves us, because he's there for us, because he's trustworthy, because he's faithful. And even in the darkest of situations, and praise God, hopefully we all have many joyous, happy, light, bright, sunny, purposeful, hopeful situations. But even in the darkest, we need only to rely on him. Lastly, if Jake, you can go on to our last slide for us. We're also called, I believe, from these verses. Sorry, if you go back to the one that says, share God's goodness. We're called to actually not just keep it to ourselves. We know that, don't we? We know that. The Great Commission, the go into all the world, see people not only hear the gospel, but become disciples. We know that there's a charge on our lives for that. And again, the research told us that the thing that helped people the most in exploring faith, the top answer was attending a local church. What a privilege we have to see people encounter us, not just on Sundays, but in the ministries that so many of you are a part of, whether it's dads and kids, whether it's girls group, boys group, whether it's seniors ministry, whether it's cafe on Fridays, whether it's toddler group. All of these opportunities give us people, don't they, in our midst. And ours is the good news to share in the midst of it, isn't it? These verses, sorry, in the next slide, Jacob, say this to us. They encourage us that actually to live out some of that good news that God has put within us. Isaiah 55 verse 10 says, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all of the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn brush will grow juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. We see in the book of Isaiah, again, God's deliverance of people who'd been in exile in Babylon. We see creation rejoicing, don't we? We've heard about it, we've spoken about it. As you look out, if you go to, whether it's a mountaintop or a beachside and look out at the sea, we see, don't we, that creation cries out to worship and praise God. And so maybe the call on our lives too, or the challenge for us, is how do our lives demonstrate not only being real, we don't want fake, do we? People want authenticity. They want to see how our life and faith matches up. But how does something of the joy of the Lord speak truth too? Isaiah's original hearers had experienced exile. They'd experienced those thorns and hopelessness. And yet through those verses, and hopefully still for us today, we know that we too, like Isaiah reminded us, can speak of joy and peace and lasting transformation for those who love him. And the charge on our lives is that we too, if you go on to the next slide for me, we too can reveal something of God's goodness as we trust in God's faithfulness in our lives. And I wonder what that looks like for you. Today, in a few moments' time, we're going to have a chance to come to the table and to bring our whole heart, whether that's us coming up or sitting as we do, in that moment, let's bring our heart and say, Lord, how can I trust you more? What do I need to go deeper into acknowledging that you are faithful? Certainly something I've learned in the past is when tough things arise, and it's not trite to say it, but actually I've said, Lord, what are you going to do now? Because I've known you be faithful then and then in that circumstance, in that incident. And whilst it brings human worry or anxiety, hopefully our roots go deep enough to say, Lord, what are you going to do now? Because you are faithful. We can trust in God's faithfulness. What is it that you need today to rely upon God? I'm sure that for many of us, we need to lean in more to rely upon God, whether that's for our hopes for the future, whether it's for what's happening right in our eye line, or whether it's in trusting, relying on God's promises for our children, for our grandchildren, whoever it may be, our God children, those that we love and care about. What does it look like for us to rely on God's promises? And lastly, as we think of being good news people, in what is often a bad news world, what does it look like for us even today to just be able to pause, to reflect on what God has done in our lives, but then maybe to pray for a little bit extra boldness or bravery so that we too can share something of his goodness with others? Because we know, don't we? We're a world who not only need to hear it, but actually, as all the research tells us, praise God, people are much more open to hear it than maybe they have been for decades. What does it look like for us to share his goodness? So we're going to just pause for a moment before coming to communion. And I've asked that we listen to what's a beautiful song many of you will know called Reckless Love. And I'd love us just to have a moment as we listen to the words, and I'll hand back to Douglas to take us into communion, just to think or to lean in and just ask God. And Jacob, if we can go back to that picture, please. I felt as we were praying earlier just that actually whilst we listen to this song, to look back to the picture of Jesus leaning into the water. What does it look like for us today to trust in God's faithfulness, to rely on his promises, to look to share his goodness? But as we listen to this song speaking about God's reckless love and never-ending love, then maybe this picture too might help us to think, how do we need to just hold out our hand, trust God, thank him for all that he's done, but lean in and communicate with him too as to what you need from him today. Let's listen to this song together. Just as that song draws to a close, let's just pray. Father God, we just thank you that we're reminded by that song and through your word of just that abandoned, reckless love of God. Thank you, Lord, that as the song says, even if we were the one that got away from the 99, you would come after us because you love us so abundantly. Lord, however we feel today, wherever we're at, whether we feel close to you or far away, thank you, Lord, that today we can be reminded that your word endures. Great is your faithfulness. Help us to know that as we come to your communion table now. And Jesus, may we just be able to look to you, know you reach in, you lift us up, you walk with us into the week to come. We thank you for your faithfulness. Amen.